What do you think the target of preaching ought to be? And please understand, I'm not asking about goal, I'm asking about the target of preaching. Really, we could ask the question a little differently by saying, what is the Word of God aimed at? What is its target? And the reason we might say that is because any preaching ought to be, if it's going to be good preaching, ought to be the Word of God. And if it's not the Word of God, then it's not going to be good preaching no matter what target it's aimed at. So the point is, what is the Word of God aimed at? What is the preaching of the Word of God aimed at? And specifically, what do you think my preaching this week is going to be aimed at with us during this gospel meeting? We might look at the big picture and answer that the question that and give the answer to that question that good preaching is aimed at the salvation of men's souls. Preaching ought to be aimed at saving people, and that would be right in some ways. 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 16 talks about the fact Peter was told Timothy was told pay close attention to yourself and to your teaching. Persevere in these things, for as you do this, you will ensure salvation both for yourself and for those who hear you. So clearly, as Timothy went about doing his work, he was supposed to be concerned about making sure that ultimately producing salvation for himself and the salvation of those who heard him. So in a broad sense, preaching is aimed at saving people's souls. But again, what we've done when we give that answer is we've sort of changed our topic from target to goal or objective. Certainly the objective or the goal of preaching ought to be save souls. But we're not talking about the objective. I want to talk about target. If preaching is going to accomplish its objective of producing salvation in the souls of men and women, it's going to reach that goal, then it has to hit a very specific target. It has to be aimed at really changing people, but not just changing people's outside behavior or their conduct. It's not seeking simply to modify behavior. Certainly the gospel is aimed at changing us and changing our behavior, but ultimately, and we have to change our behavior if we're going to be pleasing to God, but preaching can't and won't profoundly or permanently change one's conduct without first changing one's heart, one's mind. Just ask yourself this question: how do you really change your own actions? How do I change my actions? Ask yourself that question. How do I change my actions, my conduct, in a positive and permanent, meaningful way? How do I do that? Someone may answer, well, by exercising self-control. And that's in some ways correct. It's one way to help modify our behavior. I change my actions by deciding what the right course of action is, and then I force my body to comply. That's self-control. And we all have the ability and can, to one degree or another, change our conduct by willpower, by the power of our will. At least for a while, we can do that. But if I want to really significantly change me so that I'm really a different person, if we really are trying to change who we are, we must also change, and really, in fact, we must first change our heart. You remember the passage in Romans chapter 12 when Paul had urged the Romans about offering their bodies as a living sacrifice. He then said in verse 2, and do not be transformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove that the will of God is what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. Notice that Paul suggests that if you want to really transform your life, you got to start by changing the way you think. Look at the Ephesian letter with me for just a minute. Ephesians chapter 4. And if you don't mind, notice with me Ephesians chapter 4, beginning at verse 17. Ephesians 4, verse 17. So this I say, and affirm together with the Lord, that you walk no longer just as the Gentiles walk, in the futility of their mind, being darkened in their understanding, excluded from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the hardness of their heart. And they, having become callous, have given themselves over to sensuality for the practice of every kind of impurity with greediness. But you did not learn Christ in this way, if indeed you have heard him and have been taught in him, as the truth is in Jesus, that in reference to your former manner of life, you lay aside the old self, which is being corrupted in accordance with the lust of deceit, and that you be renewed in the spirit of your mind. You see that? Be renewed in the spirit of your mind and put on a new self, the new self, which in the likeness of God has been created in righteousness and holiness of truth. These Gentiles, as Paul begins to contrast the Ephesian saints with the Gentiles, he says, talks about the Gentiles and talks about how terribly corrupt they were. Their understanding was darkened because of the hardness of their heart, the text says. They had become callous, so which resulted in their giving themselves over to sensuality for the pursuit of every kind of bad thing with greediness, he says. The Christians at Ephesus, though, had escaped that. That's what he's telling them, talking to them about here in this text. And if you notice how they escaped that, verse 23 suggests the point that they were renewed in the spirit of their mind. The way that they were able to change who they were was by changing the way they thought about things. They had to change their mind. You know why it's important to first change your heart or your mind before you can actually change your actions? Look at Mark chapter 7. I think that Jesus himself gives us the key to that. Mark chapter 7. And notice verse 20 beginning. Jesus was saying, he says in verse 20, that which proceeds out of the man, that is what defiles the man. For from within, notice what Jesus says, for from within, out of the heart of men proceed evil thoughts, fornications, thefts, murders, adulteries, deeds of covetousness and wickedness, as well as deceit, sensuality, and goes on to list some things. All these things proceed from within and defile a man. The point that Jesus is saying is that these bad things that come out of me, these actions that you see that are contrary to this will of God, this wickedness that I'm involved in, that those kinds of things proceed from within. Those things come from out of my heart. And so if I'm going to really change who I am, if I'm going to be able to effectively be transformed into the image of Christ, I'm going to have to start with changing the way I think. I'm going to have to change my mind about what I'm doing. The old ways of thinking or acting, they come out of a corrupt mind or a corrupt heart. Our thoughts, our words, our deeds, all of those things reflect our heart. You need to understand that, okay? You need to understand that what comes out in your actions is a reflection of your heart. Someone says, sometimes a person tries to justify their wrong behavior by saying, I know I did a bad thing, but I know that really deep down I have a good heart. If these bad things are coming out, you may think within yourself that you have a good heart, but others are able to see your deeds, and those deeds also, to some degree, help me know what your heart is. I can sort of know if people say, well, we can't read a man's heart. Well, no, I can't. I can't do what the Lord does, and I can't see what's actually in your heart, but I can see what comes out of you, and Jesus is telling me that what comes out of you is a reflection of what's in there. And so to some degree, when I look at your actions, I can know something about the kind of heart that you have. We humans have a terrible tendency to look at ourselves subjectively. And I'll tell you that subjectivity is not the way, or looking at myself subjectively is not really the best way to look at myself. Subjectivity tends to be slanted. I tend to see myself in the best light. We may try to be objective, but the natural tendency is for us to sort of put the best interpretation on what we do. We don't do that with one another. When I look at you, I can see your faults. I can see how bad you are. But when I look at me, my subjectivity tends to make me paint myself in a pretty good light. So there's the man who says to his wife, you know, in my heart, I know I love you, baby. I know I love you. But his abusive, unkind acts scream at her that he doesn't really love her. Okay? There's the Christian, the disciple, who says, I know in my heart that I want to do the right thing. Well, then why are you committing adultery? Why are you lying and stealing? Why are those things going on? I know you say you know you want to do right, but why are these things happening? Why are these things, why are you doing these things? What I want you to see is that if you want to know what really in your heart, I want to know what's in my heart. If you want to know what's in your heart, because God doesn't just look at the external man. He looks at the heart. We were just talking about that, weren't we, Timothy? He looks at the heart of man. He looks at the inside of us. And if you want to know what your heart is, don't look at how you feel or don't think about what you feel. Look at your actions, because your actions are a more accurate illustration of what your heart is, or demonstration of what's in your heart. So we have to look at ourselves from that perspective. My actions are a more objective way of seeing what is in my heart, since the actions that come out of it reflect what's in my heart. And let me just say what I'm saying with regard to all this. Please don't sit in your pew and think, oh boy, I sure hope Brother Dokes understands that, or Joe Blow over there, I sure hope he understands that. You know, that guy over there, I hope he's getting that. Forget about everybody else this morning for a moment. Just think about you. Just think about what's in your heart and what your actions reflect about what's in you. Okay? Think about that for just a minute. So if I want to really change my life, if you want to change your life to please God, and finally gain the salvation that we want to eventually have, the ultimate salvation with the Lord, I'm going to have to change my heart. Listen to me. You just can't be a disciple of Jesus without being willing to change your heart. The truth of the matter is, if you're going to be a disciple of Jesus, there's nothing about your life that will ever be the same again. That you are going to have to completely renovate who you are. That's what Jesus is about, is completely renovating us and making us completely different people. And if that's going to happen, then there has to be a change of heart. Change how you think in your heart, and you'll be able to change more positively and more permanently, more positively and permanently your actions, your life. Proverbs 4 and verse 23, watch over your heart, for from it, watch over your heart with all diligence, for from it flow the issues of life. The proverb is, the wise man is telling us, guard your heart. It's my heart that I've got to be concerned about. So let's get back to my original question, okay? I've kind of left my topic. Let's go back to the original question. What is good preaching aimed at? If preaching is going to be quality preaching, what has it got to be aimed at? Well, in view of what we've learned, that if you're going to change who you are, you've got to change your heart. Change your heart, and that way you'll change who you are, change your life. Good preaching ought to be aimed at the heart of people. It, more pointedly, ought to be aimed at changing your heart. That's what we're really trying to do. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 12. Notice that text with me for just a moment. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 12. You know this passage. For the word of God is living and active, and sharper than any two-edged sword, and piercing as far as the division of the soul and the spirit, both of joints and marrow, and is able to judge the thoughts and the intentions of the heart. The word of God is pointed, and it's sharp. And when it's preached accurately, it cuts deep. And it cuts deep. It forces me to see me, not subjectively, but it forces me to see me objectively, as God sees me. In fact, that's really what we're doing. When we look at the Word of God and we let it expose our lives, we're actually beginning to get a look at ourselves the way God sees us. Okay? And the Word of God is intended to do that. It is described in James chapter 1 as a mirror. Look at that passage that's quite famous to us, James chapter 1. He says in verse 31, therefore putting aside all filthiness and all that remains of wickedness and humility, receive the implanted word, or the word implanted, which is able to save your souls. He says, but prove yourselves to be doers of the word and not merely hearers who delude themselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man who looks at his natural face in a mirror. For once he has looked at himself and gone away, he has immediately forgotten what kind of person he was. But one who looks intently at the perfect law, the law of liberty, and abides in it, not having become a forgetful hearer but an effectual doer, this man will be blessed in what he does. The Word of God is like a mirror. It's intended to reflect our natural man. Just like a physical mirror reflects what I naturally look like, so also the Word of God is intended to reflect our natural, our real image, who we really are, so that we can fix whatever it exposes, okay? Whatever's out of place. And what I've found, painfully, is that mirrors do not lie. Okay? At times, I'll be honest with you, at times, and I'm talking purely physically here, at times I think of myself in sort of a distorted way. I think of myself as how I used to look when I was young. Okay? When I was bowed up and strong. All that kind of stuff. And I look at me in my mind's eye and I think, "Yo, Rick, you don't look too bad. You look pretty good. You look pretty good." But then I look in a mirror. That is not a pretty sight. Okay. I look in the mirror and suddenly the reality I'm faced to see that. My hair is gray. It's been gray for a long time. 20 years or so. Been that way. The wrinkles are beginning to take effect on my face, and I don't have that nice, sharp, more chiseled look that I once had. I have a little bit more rugged look. It's beginning to show the wear of years. And then my eyes, unfortunately, in the mirror fall on the reflection of my true body. And I see how big my girth really is. It's not nearly as narrow in my mind. In my mind it's narrow, but in reality, it's not. And I lie to myself and say, "Well, a mirror, you know, always adds 25 pounds or something like that." But it's just not really true. The mirror is reflecting what it actually sees. And what I find out when I look at myself in the mirror is that I'm not as I imagined myself to be in my mind. I'm bigger. I'm rounder. I'm older. And all of that sort of hurts. Sort of hurts. Well, the Word of God is just like that. The Word of God is like a mirror. It reflects how ugly our bad habits really are. How unholy our sinful actions really are. It reflects how unwholesome our words actually are. How hurtful they are when we speak them. It unmasks our thoughts, which are under the surface that no one else sees, but it helps us to reflect on our own intentions. And it's pointed. And it's sharp. And it cuts deeply, and it hurts. And some people don't like to be made to see how they really are. There are a lot of people who just don't like that. They would rather live in a dream world and walk away from the Word of God, just ignore it, forget about what they've seen, and do nothing about it. And do you understand how absurd that is? You know, in the morning when I get up, I now sleep with one of those things on that helps me breathe during the night. And I wake up with hat head, okay, because it has a thing that keeps that mask on. My hair is way out of shape. And I see that. So what if a guy looks at himself in the mirror and he sees how bad his hair is messed up? And he sees, you know, he's got some dry drool on his mouth. He's kind of crusty there. And he's got a couple of blemishes that maybe need some attention, you know, and got some nasty grunge or growing in his eyes, you know, in the corner of his eyes. We've seen all that. It's all there. The way they wake up in the movies isn't the way it is in real life. You know what it's like in real life. So what happens when a person looks at that and sees himself in the mirror and sees what awful shape he's in and then decides to just walk away and go out to work just like that? Without doing anything about his hair, without washing his face, without shaving his whiskers, without doing anything like that, he just goes out the way. He forgets what he looks like. We'd say, that guy's nuts. But that's exactly what people do with the Word of God. You understand that? And what it reflects is something much more ugly than hair out of place, or a little crust of something in your eyes, or a little dry drool on your face. It reflects something much worse than that many times. And there are a lot of people who just don't want to see themselves for the way that they actually are. But good preaching is intended to hold the mirror of God's Word up. This living, active Word of God, it's to hold it up and to help us see who we really are. It's to help even the person who doesn't want to see himself. It's intended to try to help him see who he is. So that real, positive and permanent changes can be made in who he is. Good preaching is aimed at helping you and me to sanctify Christ as Lord in our hearts. 1 Peter 3 and verse 15. It's aimed at trying to get us to recognize the Lordship of Jesus Christ and allow him to change us and to listen to what he says about who we are so that we will really change. Now, I'm going to tell you that without apology or excuse, I'm going to acknowledge to you that this is true of my preaching. I'm not saying that I'm a good preacher, okay? I try to do my best, and I'll do my best this week, and I think we'll be okay. If you're generous people, we'll have some good lessons, okay? But I will tell you what I'm aiming at with everything I preach. I am aiming at you and at who you really are, and I am aiming specifically at your heart. And the point of what I'm trying to do in the preaching this week is to hit your heart so that you'll change, so that you will be changed by the Word of God. The preaching is aimed at capturing your heart for the Lord Jesus Christ. It sounded like you were preaching right at me, Rick. Somebody says that to me. It sounds like you were just taking a shot right at me. Were you preaching to me today? Were you preaching at me today? Let me say to you that if you feel that my sermons are aimed directly at you, then you're right about that. They are aimed directly at you. And unfortunately, I don't know you like I know the people in Peoria where I preach all the time. And so I can't hit the target exactly as good as I want to because I don't know you very well. But I'm going to preach some things this week that I think most every person who's a follower of Jesus Christ needs to know, or every person who's not yet chosen to follow Jesus Christ needs to know. We're going to try to talk about some things in a very, very pointed way. And the truth of the matter is, the preaching is aimed at your heart. It is aimed at you. I don't know how else to preach, okay? I don't know how else to preach. If you want somebody to come and preach nice little sermons that everybody can listen to and go home and say, oh, that was nice, but it affects no real change in us, that's not what I'm about, okay? I'm hoping that when this week is over, there will be some real changes taking place in us. Okay, that's what I'm hoping, because the preaching is going to be aimed that way. I want you to understand that we're not playing a game here. That we're not in the business of stroking your psyche and making you feel good about yourself. We're trying to capture your heart for God. And if your heart is already captured, we're trying to make sure that it stays captured, so that we can be really different people. People who reflect more accurately the image of Jesus Christ. Now, I will be kind as I preach, I promise. Okay? You will find that I'm very sympathetic because you don't know it, but you have asked a very, very flawed man to come and work with you this week. I'm broken just like every one of you are. And I'm in the process of being renovated. Jesus has been working on me for nearly 40 years now. Okay? Working on me, making me, and there are some improvements that have been made in my life, but there's still a lot of work to be done. Okay? So I'm going to be very sympathetic as I preach these things. But the truth of the matter is we talk about things because we have a point to make. We're trying to reach your heart and to help you change who you are. My prayer is that as we preach this week, holding up the mirror of God's word, that you will look into it. That you will look into it for yourself, not for somebody else, that you will look into it for yourself, and that you will see yourself as God sees you. And that you will take the message very personally and do whatever needs to be done to make whatever changes need to be made to rectify who you are and so that he can bring you to the place where he wants you to be as one of his disciples. And so if we'll all do our part and persevere as we do all this and as we preach these things, what we're going to ultimately then doing is hitting an objective, which is ultimately ensuring the salvation of our souls. Because listen to me, that's what I really ultimately want to do, is I have no interest in getting anybody told. That's just not... But I have interest in trying to help us be better people. Because that's what our Lord wants. He wants to change us and prepare us so that we can be with him and worship at his throne throughout eternity. And I want that more than anything else. I want so badly to look like Jesus Christ and to reflect his character in my own life. And I want to help others do that so that we can be together around the throne of God and worship him throughout eternity. So I'm going to say just thank you for letting me come. Thank you for the invitation to be here. Please come. Please come with an open mind and an open heart. Please listen carefully to what I say. It may not be said especially well, but listen as carefully as you can to what I say. Try to look at yourself in light of the Word of God. Take it personally and do whatever it says you need to do to make a change. Okay? If we can help you in some way to do that, it would be wonderful to start out this meeting with you making a confession of faith in Jesus Christ. We'd like to hear you say that you believe in him so much that you're willing to repent of your sins and allow yourself to be immersed in water for the forgiveness of your sins. We'd love to see that happen today. Maybe you're already a disciple and you just need to make some corrections. If we can help you with that, let us know. We're all broken people and we're all trying to help each other do what's right. So if we can help you in some way, let's do it. While we stand with Brother Ijo.